pray. Father, we're thankful, Lord, that we can gather together again tonight, Lord, that you've kept us, Lord. And Father, there's a few that are sick and not feeling well tonight. We pray you're be with them and raise them up, Lord. Let them understand this faith, Lord, we've been talking about. All of us, Lord, understand it the way that the prophet brought it. Only you can give us that faith. And Brother Branham said that we should pray for faith. Pray for revelation more than anything. Lord, it's beginning to make a whole lot of sense why he said that. And Lord, we're so thankful that we have these words, your truth, your living truth to live by, Lord. And may you help us tonight to climb up a little higher. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Okay, it wasn't cooperating with me a while ago. There it goes. Trust everybody's been getting along all right. We've, with all this rain, it seems like we've turned into the tropical rainforest of the East Coast now. And they got one, they call it there in Washington, where Michael and I went to Washington and Vancouver, they call that some kind of rainforest. It's not a tropical one, but it is a rainforest. And if you look at the mountains there, almost all the rain is on the ocean side, and on the other side is almost no rain for the year. I mean, it rains almost every day on the other side. And so it seems like here on the East Coast, we're getting to where some years it rains several times a week, all summer. So, but I remember years ago when we still had horses, and Emily, we got a trailer full of hay that we had got down from New York. It was some rough hay, but it was the only hay we could get almost. And I remember telling the Lord then I would never, ever complain about rain again. And so you'll never hear me complain about rain. I know how much it comes. That's how much we need. You know, that's exactly what it needs to be. So I'm not going to complain about it again. And we want to continue tonight in the perfect faith, but I had some other quotes I wanted to reach back and go back through just real quick and then get back into perfect faith, because I want you to be thinking about these things that he's saying about the last day message and the last day messenger and what it's for, and this oneness that he talks about between the Father and the Son. And then he talks about this perfect faith versus a faith that isn't perfect. How can there even be an imperfect faith? And then he talks about, and here we're going to read here in a minute, about partial realization as opposed to perfect realization. And I think after a while, you'll begin to see that he's talking about the same thing. This is about, and it's always been about, us and God, him fellowshipping, him not being alone anymore, this great family that he's produced. And that's what it's been about the whole time. And Brother Branham said that in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. That's what he said. He talked about how that God would become man and have preeminence in Christ. And then he would have preeminence to come and get his church. And then he would have preeminence in them to restore Eden. And so it's that preeminence and that oneness and this perfect realization and this perfect faith. All those things are talking about the same thing. It's Brother Ram talked about us perfectly understanding. You know, that's one of the hardest things that we have now as human beings, is understanding one another. And it was bad enough when everybody had all one language, but then when all the languages changed, and then it's something that to me would be the greatest thing, to be perfectly understood and to perfectly understand. And that's what God has promised us, because that is revelation. The perfect understanding doesn't come with this thing. That's the problem that Jeremy's going to talk about tonight, is that we've always tried to use this to communicate with God and not this that we're supposed to communicate with God. God don't work with your reasoning. That's not his way, because it says that it's impossible to please God without faith. And who gives you faith? He does. So it's not reasoning that he, because Brother Branham said that God picked the man's heart and Satan took his mind. So, I mean, it all ties back to what this relationship is and what it's all about. So let's start back in Pergamon Church Age. We're going to read two places in the Church Age book tonight, but we're going to pick up some other places in the Perfect Faith too. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. So in the first message that I brought on this, Fellowshipping Part 1, this is the paragraph right above the one we read. So it's all in there together. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. You see that relationship? He's absolutely trusting God to show him. So much so that, you know, as a human being, how hard that is for us as human beings. We just want to, you know, apply ourselves and do things. And here he is. He's not going to make a move unless the Father shows him. That means he has complete confidence in the Father, that the Father's going to show him when he needs to. And so there's going to be times where this thing's going to say, well, God, you know, what's wrong? Why ain't you doing something? Remember what he told us, the example about Martha, how she had a right to say these things to him, about how he kept walking and kept going away when they were trying to get him to come back for Lazarus. He just kept walking. And they called up to him, and he went further because God told him to go further. Brother Bram's going to talk about that tonight, about how Jesus was in his own world. He was in a world that was the world with him and God. And he's going to talk about tonight that that's where he's promised us, that same world that we can walk in with God the same way. That's you get alone sometime and you talk to God about that. That's absolutely amazing to think about that. We walk along in this world and we don't walk alone. We come into this world, as Brother Bram said, we come into this world defeated. And we walk along sometimes with 20 people's opinions hanging on our back as we walk along. But Jesus didn't. Jesus walked along. He had one voice he was listening to.
Amen.
And one all the time. And he could see God moving and doing wherever God was moving and doing, because he heard the voice. And wherever the voice was making itself known, whether it was in Jesus or wherever it was, he even recognized it when Peter answered him right and told him who he was. He said, God done that, Peter. See, he recognized God in other people as well as it happening in himself. He recognized God everywhere because him and God were one. And so people don't walk alone in this world. They walk along with everybody's opinions and everything else hanging on them. But God has promised us that we can walk along with him. And I said here, if it was last service or time before, that the only real oneness that a group of people is going to have is when every one of them is walking alone like that. And all those that are walking alone with God are walking together. That's the true oneness. They can't make a step out. You know, this hand's not going to run into this hand. It's not going to do it. And that's what he's promised us. We don't have to make it happen. We just have to look for it. That's what we're looking for. It's like I talked about Daniel. Daniel knew them 7 years was almost up, and he started looking for what was getting ready to happen. And you saw what happened, the response from heaven. The response from heaven, they come and said, Daniel, you're much loved in heaven, and your prayer has been heard. An angel come to talk to him. And then we had the angel come and talk to us today. But we need to take it for what it is. Brother Bram said, take him at his word. All right. So this harmony is talking about with the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. John 5:19. This harmony is to now exist between the groom and his bride. The same harmony. He shows her his word of life and she receives it. That's the harmony. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her. Not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret of this. The bride, the word is in the bride as it was in Mary. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. So now I'm bringing these points back because you're going to hear Brother Branham hit them almost exactly in perfect faith. I'll point them out. I'll try to remember to point them out as we go. He performs the command of the word. She performs the command of the word in his name. For she has, thus saith the Lord. She has it. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit and it comes to pass. Like a seed that's planted and watered, it comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. And those in the bride do only his will, and no one can make them do otherwise. All right, so let me just finish that. They have, thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. Now that is a huge, huge paragraph right there. Knowing that God is in them fulfilling the works. All right, so now this is where we were picking back up here where Peter's stepping out of the boat in perfect faith. He stepped down and he said, it's the Lord. I'll just walk. I want you to see these two ways he's thinking. Two ways he's understanding. But when he got his eyes on the waves, he got scared. What come in his mind? Brother Bram's asking you to think about that a minute. What come in his mind? What come in Peter's mind that got him scared all of a sudden? First thing, this is the first thing come in his mind. I'm going to walk because the word said for me to walk. That's not reasoning. That's just the word says it, then I'm going to do it. The next thing he looked at, well, he looked at his symptoms. He started reasoning. Brother Bram said there was huge waves. He looked out there and seen them big, how big them waves was. And he got scared. And when he did, down he went. See? Now this is talking about that faith that's not perfect. One minute he had it, the next minute he didn't have it. We're talking about an abiding faith that never leaves. What he feared happened. What he believed happened. What he believed, when he believed he could walk, he walked. When he believed, got scared in his belief, and his substance left him. Amen. We're not talking about that kind of faith. We're talking about a different one. See? He still professed it. You remember many times Brother Brown would say, he'd start telling somebody what their name was, and then he'd say, they're going to miss it. Because they were like, their faith was wavering. But he didn't have the substance. Now, I skipped something there. Got scared in his belief, then his substance left him. He got scared in his revelation, went back to his reasoning. See, he still professed his faith, but he didn't have the substance. He still said he had it, but he didn't. The substance would have went right over the top of that white cap. Remember last time we were talking about who the believer is in you? That believer is God in you. That believer, the substance, would have went right over them caps because it was the God that told him to do it. The substance would have went right over the top of that white cap and went right on to him, see, if he has the perfect faith, see, but he didn't have it. He thought he did. He did it first. He was willing to venture right out. Why the Lord told me to do it. It's got to happen. So he just steps right down out of the boat and takes off. See, no reasoning. This is where Brother Branham's pointing us to here. When the reasoning goes, it's gone. And this anchors and it stays. And it's not just for one thing. This one thing, Peter was like walking on the water. It's not just for that. It's to walk your entire life like this. I'll read it to you here in just a minute. One of the things, Brother Ram said that one of the things he'd done when he was a Christian is he started going through the Bible to see what the benefits were, what all the promises were. Boy, I'm telling you what, he had it right. He knew the promises, more in there than I could have ever found. So he just steps right down and out of the boat and takes off. He never thought about the waves. He never thought about the waves. He just thought that God said, come. It's two different ways of thinking. He never got that. How contrary they was, he never got that in his mind. Now, when you get to thinking, well, now wait. And you know, I've been sick so long, stop. You just might as well go back to the boat. You're not considering the word there. See, he's giving you somebody's thoughts of somebody that's not even considering the word. They're considering all the symptoms. As Brother Bram said, Peter was considering the waves, his symptoms. You just might as well go back to the boat, see. But when you quit thinking about that, Abraham considered not his own body, now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't think about that. Didn't even consider it. You know, that's something. And it proved it even more so, you know, I never thought about it till just the other day. But whenever Sarah went to him with her idea that here you take my handmaid, I can't remember her name right this minute. He said no. He said no. Now he knows she's not. This handmaid is not dead like Sarah. But that don't matter. That's not even entering his mind. He's going to have this baby with Sarah. That's all he knows, and that's all he cares about. He didn't even consider at all. He just considered what God said and went on. And as long as Peter did that, he walked. So something has to come along to make us able so that we're only able to consider his word, because we're going to find the place, he said, where we just walk and we don't fall into water no more. Because we don't think about those things no more. We just walk solely with our hand in his hand. But Jesus lived in a world that no one knew about. Because of this relationship, no one knew about this world that he lived in. He was an odd person. He lived in a world of perfect faith in the perfect God in which he was. If we lived in a perfect faith of a Christian to what we are, we'd be a mystic people to the world. The people wouldn't understand you, not unless they've got a seed down in there somewhere. You'd walk in the Spirit, what the Spirit said you would do. See them words he's talking, and some of the same words he was using a while ago about describing the bride. You'd walk in the Spirit, and what the Spirit said, you would do it, or you would do. What it forbade, you would not do. Then the people began to say, you'd be a mystic to them. He's describing you walking in this other world like Christ was walking in this other world. And remember what we said at the beginning when he said, notice the Father and the Son in the harmony. and how he said that that same harmony is going to be there between the groom and the bride. That's the way it is to all believers. They're a mystic. The people don't understand because they live in a world to themselves. Jesus lived in a world that nobody else could touch. The disciples couldn't understand him. When he spoke to them, they say this, and then they said, "Why are you talking riddles? We don't understand this. How can this be?" See, they wasn't in the world that he lived in. See, there's another world that you can live in, but they weren't living in that world yet. See, they couldn't understand him because they didn't live in the same world. They didn't live in the same world by faith, not by reasoning, that like we all live by when we're born into this world. See, they couldn't understand him. Nobody could understand him. And so when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith, he is isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ. See him tie that straight into the new birth? He tied it right straight into the new birth. A partial realization, a partial faith, a faith that can come and go, may stay, may not stay, with one that doesn't leave and one that you become a new creature. So this abiding faith, this perfect faith, it comes when you become a creature, a new creature in Christ. There now you're getting into bride material. When you walk in this world by yourself with him, then you're getting into bride material. There now you're getting into bride material, see? You're getting into rapturing condition now. Walking along with God. What did he say about Enoch? He walked with God for 500 years. And what was his testimony? That he'd done exactly what God told him to do for 500 years. Talk about walking alone. You're getting into rapturing condition now. That means for each one of us. There's the promise, brother. Not just the pastor, the deacons, and the trustees. He tied this straight into this new birth up here. He's driving it right into this faith that you walk by, that you do nothing by, except you have faith to do it. You're getting into a rapturing condition now. That means for each one of us, not just the pastor, deacons, trustees. That means for the laity. Every individual walks in a world with God alone. What a promise, brother and sister. This is what God has been going to bring the whole time. This is what he wanted. That he might be all in all. You're baptized into this kingdom. And there's nobody in there but you and God. You and God together are a kingdom. See? He gives the orders and you pack them out. Isn't that what he just said a while ago in the Church Ages book? She does exactly what he knows. She knows what he wants done. And she does it. See, he gives the orders and you pack them out. Whatever he says, there's not a shadow of doubt nowhere. You walk right on. Listen to what he's telling us we can have. I can't think of anything in this world I want more than this. If the Lord says this, there's nobody in the world can talk you out of it. You go right on just the same. Now you're coming into perfect faith, perfect perfection that cannot fail. It can't fail. It can't be with you today and not with you tomorrow. This is a faith that'll be with you always. It's God's faith. That faith never fails. Yes, he was a mystic to them with his perfect faith. And so is it now with those. So is it now with those who have perfect faith. are mystic to others. Man, so let's go back into Church Age's book for a minute. And this is the Philadelphia Church Age. Oh, I'm so glad that my holiness is not of myself. I am glad that I am in Christ with all his wonderful attributes of righteousness imputed. You're in him with all his wonderful attributes imputed to you. Yep. Yeah. Imparted unto me. Blessed be God forever. These things saith he that is true. Now you look up that word true sometime. Brother Graham's going to talk about it. Now this word true is a very wonderful word. It does not mean true in just the sense that it's opposite to false. It expresses the perfect realization of an idea. So now, for example, we talk about, sometimes you hear people talk about, let's say you're going to build a house, and it's a big house, and it's going to take 5 years to build it. And you have this dream to build this house, and you got plans to build the house and everything, but they say that when you actually get the house done, you realize the house. You realize the dream. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about you realizing what? Not in part realizing. Not like in Luther, him realizing justification. Not just that. That's a partial realization of what he had in mind. So now he's talking about a perfect realization. He's going to realize in man exactly what he had in his mind all that time. Remember what he said about Jesus? He was so enthused when he saw Jesus because it was so perfect. He had preeminence in Jesus. Notice the harmony between the Father and the Son. You notice those things. And it's the coming. It's one great coming. And we're in that coming. We're part of that coming. It expresses the perfect realization of an idea contrasted with a partial realization. You know, only getting to see part of it. Yeah. For example, we recall that Jesus said in John 6:32, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. See, so Moses gave him bread, and that's a partial realization. It was a type of what he was really going to give him. Because then Jesus became bread. See, that was the perfect realization. John 15:1, I am the true vine. Hebrews 9:24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. See, not entering into the tent, in the temple of the Jews. Not that. That was a partial realization. This is, he's entered into heaven, but entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Whereas before the priest would go in a partial realization, now this is the perfect realization. 1 John 2:8. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. So all the darkness is gone now. There's no more partial realization. You remember what he's talking about in the church ages? In order to open these seals, he had to get out of that partial realization. He had to close out of the church ages. That had to die so that he could open up this. He couldn't open it up inside of that. All that's tied to this perfect faith, to this birth of this age, to the oneness, to preeminence. Since the word indeed expresses perfect realization as against the idea of partial realization, as illustrated in these verses. So we just read them, and he told us like 3 or 4 examples there. We can now understand, as never before, antitype contrasted with type, and substance with shadow. Take the example now of manna from heaven. God sent down angel bread from heaven for Israel, but that bread did not satisfy. Remember, they had to burn it. Don't keep none over. But that bread did not satisfy. It was only good for a day. Those who ate it were hungry again the next day. And what did he tell that woman at the well? If you ask me for water, I'd give you water and you'd never thirst again. Those who ate it were hungry again the next day. If it was left around, it became contaminated. But Jesus is the true bread from heaven. So what are we getting to partake of in this day? Finally, God has a church that gets to partake of the true bread from heaven. Whereof manna was just a type. And if any man eats of that bread that came from heaven, he will never hunger again. He does, you know, because you'll have living water springing up within you. He does not need to come back and eat again. The moment he partook, he had eternal life. Now, you think about when you start to walk in this world alone with him, what you become. You become that ever-flowing well of eternal life walking around. It's a serious thing. It's not something to profess when it's not there. The moment he partook, he had eternal life. Here indeed was reality. No need any longer for a shadow. No need for a partial salvation. Here is the whole of it. Now we understand with God's mind perfectly. Here is the whole of it. Just like Jesus isn't a part of God, he is God. Don't miss that. He's not a part of God. He is God. Remember, Brother Bram said that when the Logos come out of God, he didn't vomit up something or a piece or arm come off. It was just God came forth. No one could deny that Israel had light. They were the only people who had light as a nation. It was as when Egypt was so dark that one could feel it. But in the homes of the Israelites, there was light. But now the true light has come. Remember how much he talked about this light and shalom. And there's a man here who can turn on the light there at the end of 63 and 64. But now true light has come. The light of the world is Jesus. Moses and the prophets brought the light by the means of scripture relative to the Messiah. Thus, Israel had light. But now, right now, brother and sister, the fulfillment of the light has come. What it was going to do the whole time has come. Now the fulfillment of the light has come. And what was but glowing word has now broken forth into the brightness of God manifested amongst his people. Think about that. Oh, how we ought to be about his business. As the pillar of fire gave light at night, and that was wonderful. Now, light and life were manifested in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, brother and sister, now. Don't miss them nows. I love nows because that's where God's at. He's now. He's right now, present now. All right, back into perfect faith. We are taught to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Now, to resist is to just simply turn him down. Just resisting. That is, just walk away from it. God said a certain thing. Now, he didn't say get into an argument with him, did he? Try to convert Satan, which ain't going to happen. You don't argue. You just tell him no and walk away. Because you have thus saith the Lord. God said a certain thing. No matter what he's trying to tell you, you don't even listen to him. You have, your ears are deaf to anything else but what the Spirit says. Listen, that's one promise after another promise after another promise. But it ain't going to be the people who don't want it and don't expect it. I saw that quote that I don't know who dropped in the forum today. Talking about missing the tribulation. If you want to miss the tribulation, you better get the digging, Brother Branham said. Well, if you want to be in this message, that the promises for this hour, you better lay everything else aside. Your ears are deaf to anything else but what the Spirit says. There it is, talking about them ears that hear the that only hear the truth. See, to he that has an ear that listens, to he that listens, see what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The one that's got the listening post, that catches what the Spirit says to the churches. And now he's talking about this message that we got now. What Satan says, well, I just can't. They don't have nothing to, well, you teach that. The denomination will put, so he's given all these excuses people's given out of the denominations, reasons not to listen to what's being taught by the prophet. They don't have nothing, that don't have nothing to do with it. He goes right on just the same, this person that's deaf to everything but the Spirit. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. You know, in the Bible, it always constantly saying that to him that has faith, to him that has an ear, to him that has faith, to he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. See, he that has wisdom, that's godly wisdom, let him count the numbers of the beast. All these different things. He that has, let him tell it to the rest of them that they might have. And that's by faith we're talking about now. Faith that you've got to have. Every time he's saying faith now, what is faith? We know it's revelation. And what is it the revelation of? It's always the revelation. Brother Bram said it's always the revelation, recognizing your day and its message. So every time he's talking about this faith, it's recognizing your day and its message. That's what he's talking about. It's a perfect faith. Not one that you only hear what the Spirit's saying, because that's where we're living now. We're only hearing what the Spirit is saying. And that's by faith we're talking about now. Faith that you've got to have. Let's read that again. That's by revelation we're talking about now. Revelation that you've got to have. Is it okay to substitute that? That perfect revelation, as opposed to part of the revelation. What has he taught us about the denominations and how that each one was, putting some back and some back, reformers? That perfect faith, that perfect revelation, that revelation that says yes. There's nothing can say no. Listen to what he's calling the revelation. That faith that says yes. There's nothing can say no when God says yes. So who is the faith? It's God speaking. There's nothing can say no when God says yes. See, when he says yes, it's yes. And there's nothing else can ever take it from you. This is one promise after another, brother. I can't help it. I get excited when I think about it. Nothing can take it from you. Remember that. When you get in a hard patch sometimes, You remember, greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. And nothing else can ever take it from you. With his perfect revelation, perfect faith, he was very strange. So if he was very strange, we're going to be very strange to people. Especially in this scientific age where if you don't believe what science says, there's something wrong with you. You know, you crazy. Even though science has something new to say every day, and oh yeah, that we made a mistake on that. They never talk about that. And the devil didn't stay around him very long. Brother, he's talking about Jesus. We got it in the lesson this morning. That lesson that morning was, how can I overcome? When he come with that great big bluffed of intellectual conception, he bluffed up against Jesus there when he come. So when Satan come to tempt Jesus, he was trying to reason with him. Up against Jesus when he came, and he found out he hit a 10,000 volt line because Jesus didn't reason. Jesus just had the word, and that's all he needed. Throwed him right back again. Yes, sir, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Ooh, he got a shock then. He came a little softer the next time. Talking about Satan. He changed his approach. When he said, now, you're a great man. You can puff yourself up here, be somebody. Said, get behind me, Satan. Oh my, what he meant. And thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He told Satan who he was right there. See, he proved himself unto Satan that he was the Lord God. For it is written, thou shalt not tempt. Now, if Satan didn't know that that was the Lord God, he'd said, wait a minute, you're not that person. But he knowed better than to debate it with him. He knowed what ground to stand on. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, why is he bringing this when he's talking about perfect faith? He wants all of us to have this perfect faith. And he's telling us how it's operating in Jesus, how it's taking place in Jesus. And all that was in, all that God was, he poured into Christ. And all that was in Christ, he poured into the bride. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And that's who he was. And Satan knowed better than to say that. Because Jesus' works had already proved that he was the Lord thy God. What had been wrote about Jesus to happen for that day was already happening in his life. It proved who he was. Because the only one could bring those scriptures to pass in Christ was God. Notice now, another perfect faith is a master of all the circumstances. What are circumstances? Conditions, reasons, excuses, whatever. Whatever is against what's been promised. The perfect faith is a master of all circumstances. Perfect faith masters all circumstances. It puts reason aside every single time. No matter what it is, it masters it. Now just watch. When you believe anything, do anything, and you got faith in what you're doing, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what you run into, whether it's a wild man comes on the platform and tries to kill you, or a boar tries to kill you in the field, or bees try to sting you, or anything else, it doesn't matter. No matter what the circumstance is, that don't have one thing to do with it. Could you imagine? This is what he's saying. And brother and sister, I'll just be frank with you. I've not seen this today. I've not seen this outside of Brother Branham's life. This kind of life. But this is what he's promising his children in this day. No matter what the circumstance is, that don't have one thing to do with it. See, it masters the circumstances. If it's in a room of sickness and the Lord's revealed that this certain thing's going to happen, you just speak it and go on. Oh, just don't ask any questions. It's already over. Just keep going, see? It masters all circumstances. Well, if you do this, so-and-so is going to do, see there, opinions, hanging on people, trying to be what makes you make a decision or something, trying to push reasons in. You see, it's already got it mastered. Faith believes that God will work it out. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he'll do it anyhow, see? It masters all circumstances. And faith and love is relation. Now, this is getting down to the core of where this faith comes from, where revelation comes from. We know it comes from God, but what brings it about? And faith and love is relation. Because you can't have faith unless you got love. Now, he's not talking about us loving one another, filial love. He's talking about you and God, that love between you and God. Because you can't, now he's going to give examples of us and filial love, but he's not talking about that here. Because you can't have faith unless you got love. Because your faith is in God, who is the very essence of love. Faith and love works together. Here, just a young couple. You take a young man, a young woman, and they fall in love with one another. And as they go along and begin to know one another more, their hearts just begin to beat as one. What did he say he was going to do? Pull her up to her and tell her all his secrets. You're beginning to beat as one. What does it say in the Church Ages book? As she approaches him, she'll be just like him. One another, they begin to know one another more. Their hearts just begin to beat as one. See, they get their, not husband and wife, but their love binds them together. And they have confidence in one another. Now, if they really love one another, really love, and you know that this girl loves you, and she knows that you love her, both of you know it. You got confidence, faith in one another. If you got faith in one another, if you didn't, you better not marry her, see? Notice, you got to have faith. And you separate them and put one extreme south and one extreme north, and there's still that love that beats for one another. Now, he's talking about a filial, but he's wanting you to think about your relationship with Christ. I think we're living so far below where we should be living. No matter where they're at, they're still linked between one another. They're just as true to one another as they can be because they love one another. And if you love the Lord, and hear what he's talking about on the Lord. Not trying to dodge hell. That's a fleshly thing. This is a spiritual thing. But you love the Lord. When you have faith in God, see, if you love him, then you have faith in God. If you love him. And that's what this message is about. To show you what he's done for you. To create that love for him. You think about it. God, who created all things, is powerful and an all-knowing God, come down and become a man and let people spit on him and kill him as he walked up that hill. To show you that he loved you. He could have put it in your heart or whatever. He could have just said, you believe such and such. But that's not the kind of God we serve. He come and showed you his love. He done it that way to create this union. How else could you love him if you don't know him? How can you love a God that you can't see? And you don't, and he tells you this and he tells you that. But if that God becomes a man and walks around here and dies for you, and you see that same spirit in other brothers and sisters, you see that same spirit, you know that that's God. You know that there's a love there. We have to understand how we are. Like a young girl, just happened here in Louisville not long ago, a woman, she was been a Christian for many years, but her husband had just fell in love. She fell in love with this man. He'd been a Christian a couple years. And so they got married, and they loved and had confidence in one another, and they got married. And so the woman said to the man, said, "Hubby, if you must be hard on you, you're just a young Christian. You've had so much to go through." Drinking is what it was. Said, "You've had so much to go through with." And said, "I know you're bound to be tempted awfully hard." And said, "I want you to know one thing now. Now, if you happen to fall into temptation and is overcome, don't stay away from home. You come on back. You come right here, because I'm going to be right here waiting for you. And I'm going to help you pray through again until you get victory. I'm going to stay with you, because when I married you because I loved you. And no matter what you are, I still love you." A few days after that, he was eating his lunch with the fellas down in the boiler room, and he was telling them about it, and said, "Now, how could a man ever do anything wrong when somebody loves you like that? See, there you are. How could you trespass that confidence?" And that's what God created between you and him. And when we were sinners, alienated without God in the world, in that muck of mud, as I talked about this morning, God come to us. God sought you out. You never sought God. "No man can come to me except the Father draws him first." And God come down in that muck. We were just talking about it a while ago. First, he had to come down as a man and put on that flesh that was dying and hurting and being tempted. God did that. And God come down in that muck, what you were, and sought you out and brought you out. How did he seek you out and brought you out? That's what we were just talking about. That ought to create a perfect love, a perfect confidence in him, that he's done this for you. Look what you was, and look what you are. I think every one of us could do that tonight. Look what did that? What was it that made you like you were and then bring you from it? What did that? Somebody that loved you. Can't you have faith in that and what he's promised you? If he loved you like that, can't you have faith in what he's promised you? He's promised you then real, genuine love will create a confidence in his word. Think about that. Right there. If you could pick the very center of all the message, of all the things, that's the very core of it right there. God come and created that confidence in you, that you would have confidence in his word, because you see how what he's done for you and how he brought. We brought read that story about Gabe, the older the old man that was getting old and saw what God had done for him. Real genuine love will create a confidence in his word. He caught me when I was nothing. And I'm still nothing. But I'm in his hand, see? He caught me. And he loved me when I was unlovable. He loved you when you was unlovable. But he changed you. Just like the colored sister said that time in her testimony. She said, I'm not what I ought to be. And not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. She knowed she had come somewhere. Something happened. And that's the way it is. If God, when I was an alien from him, so loved me till he stooped down to get me and pick me up. I remember Brother Titus singing that song when he stooped way down for me. That gives me confidence that he wants to use me. He's got a purpose in doing it. He's seen something in me. Now, everything he's describing to you now is the very things that Satan tries to attack and tear apart and tear you down from. He's seen something in me. He's seen something in you. He had a reason to save you. Look at the people that's unsaved today. Look at the millions. He could have took beside you, but he took you. No one can take your place. Amen. You're in God's economy. No one can do that. That's his love to you. And then, won't your love reach back to him? The thing that he creates in you reaches back to him. The deep calling to the deep. Won't your love reach back to him? And there's a love affair. No matter what the situation is, its circumstances are governed by this love affair that he's created. It's governed by this love that creates faith. Faith for every need. Was that song we sing? That God loves you and you love God and you love one another, and that brings the faith. Now, brother, this is before he ever preached true justification. If we really saw this, if they really saw this when they saw true justification, it should have blown the top off the churches. I mean, I called them dropping spiritual bombs. The messages were so great. That God loves you and you love God and you love one another, and that brings the faith. You and God loving one another brings revelation. He said it, not me. That's God telling us that the love affair between him and I, you and him, whoever is his children, that brings the faith. For whatever you need, that's what will bring it. You don't have to wonder and worry and everything else. As you have a need, he'll speak. As we look through the Bible. Everywhere through the Bible, when they had needs, look what happened. Samson caught out there on the back of the desert there. He had a need, and there laid a bone that wouldn't break after 1,000 Philistines' heads. Now, all the different times Joseph got thrown into that pit and sold. And he could have died and got in trouble many times with Potiphar's wife and all the other stuff that was going on over there. But every one of those, God was doing that, making a way. Then it can't keep from bringing out just exactly what God promised it would do. If that love between you and God creates the faith, that's what he's saying, then it can't help but bring out just exactly what God promised it would do. God didn't miss those three Hebrew children down there in that getting ready to be thrown into that fire. He saw that love that they had for his commandments. Bringing out just exactly what God promised it would do. Now watch. Perfect faith is pure. He's using this word pure like he used the word true over here a while ago. Just as pure as love is. See? Now when you love somebody, you love your husband or you love your wife, and there's no need of anybody telling you you don't do it because you do it. See, it's silly for them to try to say you don't love them. You don't even listen. So who is he talking about then, trying to tell you you don't love him? Satan. He's trying to tell you you don't love him, then he don't love you. See, he's trying to tell you that God don't love you and you don't love God. And that's what he's talking about right here. It'd be silly for somebody to try to tell you that you don't love your wife or try to tell your wife that she don't love your husband. She don't love her husband. There's no need of anybody telling you you don't do it because you do it. You know you do it. And if I'd ask you, how can you prove you do it? Oh, I prove it by the way I live to him. See, I'm true, honest wife. I'm loyal, honest husband. And who was the believer we talked about last service? God in you. That proves to me that I love my wife. See, because of what's coming out of you. And what did he just... He's talking about this love affair between a man and wife and what comes from it. And it's proof that there's a love affair there because of what's coming from it. That's what he just got through telling us about Jesus and you, or about God and you. That God loves you and you love God and you love one another, and that brings the faith. That brings faith. Brother, what does Brother Bram say? Works is faith expressed. So he's just telling, he's just making a comparison for us to look at. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. I stutter so much. Sometimes I go home thinking I didn't get nothing over. But oh, I prove it by the way I live to him. See, I'm true, honest wife. I'm a loyal, honest husband. And that proves to me that I love my wife or I love my husband. And what did Jesus tell him? He said, if you can't believe me, believe the works I do. For they prove who I am. They were the fulfillment of the scripture. And y'all can start putting the things together that we've talked about there. Or I love my husband. See, your life proves what you are. The same thing Christianity does, see. Your faith, you have confidence in one another. It's pure. It's not on and off. Here today and not tomorrow. It's here one minute when Peter steps out on the water and then it's gone. It's not like that. It's something real that you can't show it to somebody else, yet you got it. And your actions prove it. And when you got pure, unadulterated faith, love, revelation between you and God, like your love is with your companion, then you prove it by the way you act. You ain't complaining no more. You know it's done. You just walk along. No matter what thing look like, that anybody else says, you know what's happened. It's happened to you. You didn't hear about somebody tell you about it. You didn't take somebody else's opinion about it. It's happened to you, so nobody's going to be able to talk you out of it. You know that it's finished. Just as well as you know you love your husband, as well as you know you love. See, love and faith has to go together. They're kinfolks. They love. And love produces faith. And he says it again. The love between you and God produces revelation. It produces what God wants for this hour. What did he say? As she nears him, she'll be just like him. Because they have to be. When Satan tempts us, we are to resist him in a perfect faith. In a perfect world like Jesus did. The word of God is perfect. We're to have perfect faith in this perfect word and resist Satan. Amen. I'm so glad that we can have that faith. I'm so glad that when they started this silly nonsense with the cloud wasn't this date or it wasn't that date, that didn't faze God's people. They know the word is the truth. You know, they're more interested in tearing Brother Branham down than telling you the truth. If they were really interested in your soul, they'd be trying to tell you the truth, but they're not. They're just trying to tear Brother Branham down. And you notice his message is out of the Bible. They don't touch that much. They want to try to attack everything else, but they won't touch the message. Well, they do here and there, but I'm so thankful for this message. I cannot tell you how many nights I have woke up and reach over and get my phone and just for a few minutes read it. And how good it is to do that. I wish I could commit it all to memory. But I can't. There's no way. But there's parts of this message that when I hear somebody read it, I feel something inside that happened when I read it one day, when it really come across and I caught what it meant and I became one with it. And when that happens, Satan will never take that away, ever. And God will build step by step. So no matter what happens, don't get discouraged. Keep right on walking. Keep right on putting God first and let him make the path clear, because he will do it. Amen. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, you know that even this scripture calls preaching foolishness. But Lord, that's what you wanted. And I don't know why you wanted me to do it. And I used to doubt it a whole lot, Lord. But it just kept pushing and pushing at me. And I couldn't get away from it. And Lord, I enjoy it, so the word so much. I don't enjoy trying to be a speaker. But I do want other people to know about it, Lord. I want other people to know you, Lord. There's nothing greater than to walk along in this message. And Lord, as we've read tonight, and I've made the statement that I have not seen this life in anybody except the prophet. I don't mean that derogatory or nasty or anything else, Lord. I just think we're living way, way, way below where you would have us live in this hour. Lord, give us revelation. Make these things that we read, Lord, more real than the ground we're standing on. Lord, that it might come to pass that we would walk after you, Lord, with only faith, Lord. And as the scripture says, Lord, we would do exactly what you said. We would have, thus saith the Lord. He gave no space, Lord, for us not to know right where we're standing at any given time. And being the master of all the circumstances, he said, Lord, there's nothing that he didn't cover. Lord, we're standing on the word now. If we believe it, we're standing on that and walking with it. And may you bring it to pass, Lord, as you're the only interpreter. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brother Michael.